church say amen. Let your say amen again. I mean, there's no way I could ever honor you enough.
Yes, sir.
So I'm going to take the lesser stand and just give you thanksgiving from my heart.
Yes, sir.
And praise you continually.
Well,
I mean, all day long, church, I've been with Jesus. I know some of you all started out early this morning here in the church, so all day long, you've been with Jesus. And when you reflect on what God has done for you, and you really think about it, there's no way. I mean, if we spend all day thanking him, there's no way we could thank him enough. There's no way we could thank him enough. But we can just do it. We'll just give him thanksgiving from our heart continually. If you have your Bibles today, turn with me to 1 Peter, the second chapter. 1 Peter, the second chapter. And we'll begin our reading at the ninth verse. While you're getting at giving unto God the Father, to Jesus the Son, to the Holy Spirit, who is assuredly present with us, to our pastor, the Reverend Dr. Harold Sylvester Stinger, who is back from travel, to our first lady, only lady, Sister Stinger, and to our assistant pastor, Reverend Smith, to my fellow sufferers in the gospel who are on the dios as well as those who are in the congregation, to our deacon and deaconess, to our trustees, to our choir, amen, who has done such a marvelous job. They messed me up with that This Mean War song, you know, because, I mean, I'm a fighter. I mean, I like to fight. I love a good debate. I love a good argument. And then when they started talking about It Mean War, then I realized it's really not about me fighting physically.
Yes, sir.
But I plead.
Yeah.
I don't know if y'all heard me.
Yes, sir.
I say I plead the blood.
Yes, sir.
That's a winning combination right there. To our musician, amen. To each of you, God's children, to my lovely wife, amen. Of 29 years climbing, amen. To my son, who is getting as old as we've been together, amen. Amen, amen, amen. It is so good to be with you all on today. I'm going to try to get through this 1 Peter, the second chapter, the ninth verse. And I'm reading to you from the King James Version. I'll read two verses. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into the marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but now are the people of God, which has not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Would you bow your heads and pray with me? Father God, we tell you thank you for just being God and God all by yourself. We thank you for your son, Jesus Christ, for his life, his death, his burial, his resurrection. The fact that he now sits at your right hand and we can call on you. We need you today. You said in your word, you sent forth your word into the earth, it would not return unto you void. As you give us your word, Lord, open our eyes that we can see, our ears that we can hear, our hearts that we can understand. Then, Lord, I ask you that you hide me so deep within the crevice of your cross and behind it, that none of me is seen, but only you, and you get the glory. This is our prayer today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. While you're getting your seats, though, I want to talk to you a little while from this subject. Remember who you are. Remember who you are. Now, I was challenged on this topic, but I have a little inspiration from a movie, The Lion King.
Yes, sir.
Now I want to recapture some of that, but what happened this morning, by way of confirmation, the pastor pulled out his phone, I tell on you now, and he said, I'm going to turn my phone off. But I looked over on his phone, he had a picture of a lion. There was a lion on there, right? I just want to make sure I wasn't the only one. I wasn't the only one. It looked like it was Simba. So I feel like that was just confirmation for this morning's message.
That's all right.
If we skip through the initial scenes of The Lion King, past the section where King Mustafa has been murdered by Scar, his own brother, and Simba, the heir to the throne, leaves Pride Land. Y'all remember the movie, right? Deep in the safety of the jungle, Simba joins up with two characters. Y'all remember these fellas, Timon and Pumbaa.
Uh-huh.
And their philosophy was Hakuna Matata. You know what that means, right? That was no worries. It's a laid-back, have-a-good-time, play-it-safe type of attitude. Simba buys into this attitude and hangs around for several years enjoying life with no worries and no responsibilities. Now, I know somebody probably can relate to Simba right now. Meanwhile, under the dictatorship of Simba's wicked uncle, the Crying Lands falls in ruins and famine and in despair. Then one day, Rafiki, y'all remember Rafiki, right? That little monkey, that holy man, the monkey. He tracks down Simba and offers to lead him to a place where he can see his dead father. Intrigued by this, the young decided, I'll follow him and I'll go and see my father.
Yeah.
So here, Rafiki, he gets him to the place and he said, look down. He has to put him in a stream. He said, look down. And when he looks down, he sees adult now Simba, sees his reflection. And then he pushes back and said, that's just my reflection. Rafiki taps him on the head and said, look a little bit harder. And he stirs up the water. And when he begins to look, you know, this is a movie. So, you know, a lot of stuff happened in a movie that may not happen in real life. But then he taps the water and he said, look, you see? He lives in you.
That's right.
I hope y'all are getting some of this because this actually was a pretty deep movie now that I think about it. Mustafa's image began to talk. He says, Simba, and the adopted Simba says to the father, and he begins to talk to him. He said, you've forgotten who you are. You've forgotten me. Look inside yourself, Simba. You're no more, you become less than what you are. You need to find your place in the circle of life. Church, I come this morning to let you all know that we as a church, we need to remember who we are.
Yes, sir.
We've allowed our circumstances, our situation, our problems, our conditions, things around us, the world, its problem, all the challenges around, allow us to forget who we are as a church.
And
here's a challenge. Too often we find it way, way, way too easy to go back to who we were.
Come on, preacher.
Did y'all hear what I said?
Yes, sir.
It doesn't take much of you to mess around and say, you don't make me lose my Christianity.
All right,
now. You don't want me to start this, you know, behaving like I.
Yeah.
Y'all understand what I'm saying? Yeah. So this morning, I want to encourage us to remember who you are.
Yes, sir.
Look at our text. This text begins out of a challenge. It begins with a conjunction, but. Paul makes a transition from a negative to a positive. If we are going to be who we are, we got to transition from a negative to a positive. He begins with but. The but means that is, on the contrary, on the other hand, yet, however, nevertheless, notwithstanding, Paul hints that there's going to be a change in direction, a change in preferences, a change in hand, perhaps. He intimates that there's about to be a cause for pause or a cause for praise. You've heard it all before, have you not? Where you said, I like you, but. Huh? I would go, but. I almost let go, but. I would have given up, but. I'm about to throw in the towel, but. I was going to church, but. I would have gotten saved, but. I love the Lord, but. Y'all follow me?
Yes, sir.
He begins our text with the term, but. But unlike those who stumble at the word, and are disobedient, we are God's people, and we have reason to give God praise. I hope y'all heard that, because all day long I've been with Jesus. But is a small word, but it commands a lot of attention. It's a small word, but it packs a major point, especially, I note this, when it precedes or is succeeded by God. Did y'all get that? But God. Anybody had a but God experience? But God, when but is followed by God, but it's very, let me bear myself. Psalm 73 said, my flesh and my heart fail it, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. See, when you put but God in your life, it changes, it'll change death to life. Let me bear myself out, Acts the 13th chapter. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, talking about Jesus, they took him down from the tree and laid him in the sepulcher. But God raised him.
Yes, sir, from the dead. Hallelujah.
I don't know if y'all heard that. See, somebody needs to hear that this morning. That God is able,
yes, he is,
to raise it even from the dead.
That's right.
If we would just have a but God experience. Young people, we must realize that that's your zeal, your energy, your strength and time. When we examine the field of play, we got to realize zest alone is not enough. Isaiah tells us that even the youth shall faint and be weary.
Yes, sir.
And the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with the wings of eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Church, we need to understand that we are at risk, and it's time for us to have a but God experience.
Hallelujah.
Why? Because until we have a but God experience, our options will not change. We will not create new opportunities. We will not get to, on the contrary. But when we get to the point where we experience a but God, then we're able to know who we really are.
Yes, sir.
You don't know who you are until you're really gone through something.
Oh, my Lord.
You don't know who your friends are until stuff gets rough.
Hey, hello.
I mean, everybody looks the same when everything's going all right.
Tell it,
every friends look like, I mean, enemies look like friends in good times. That's when the bad times come. That's when all of a sudden they, you know, yeah, y'all follow me?
Yeah.
If we rely on the world, our young people will remain at risk and nothing will change. But if my people, 2 Chronicles 7:14, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. If we depend on man, man will, and things will not change. But I heard Matthew said in 19:20, with man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. If we depend on ourselves, this will not change. But I heard him say in 2 Corinthians 2:3-5, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything else, but our sufficiency is of God. It's not enough to depend on somebody else. But if I depend on you, this will not change. Why? Because I heard him say in Genesis 5, but as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it. I hope you're all getting what I'm saying. See, if you have a but God experience in your life, having a but God experience, it changes the situation. We get to know who we really are when we have a but God experience. I know some of you are singing the song. There's a song that says, praise is what I do. But I want to go and say it's really deeper than that, because praise is not just what you do. It's who you are. If we will look a little bit close, since God constantly blesses us, we all are constantly and consistently praise him.
Hallelujah.
We'll get to that. We are distant, because what praise does, it shows that we recognize that God is worthy to be praised.
That's right.
And it shows others that we recognize that God is worthy to be praised. See, the heart is, the mindset, this was the heart mindset of the psalmist. He said in Psalm 34:1, I will bless the Lord at all times. He said his praises will continually be in my mouth. See, when you know and have a but God experience, we ought to be in a position just to praise God. Somebody say, if you can't tell it, let me tell it.
That's right. That's right.
What the Lord has done for me. See, when you have a but God experience, you're ready to give God. The psalmist said in 9:6-4, he said, the Lord is great and he is greatly to be what? To be praised. Well, if you serve a great God, then he should be praised greatly.
That's right.
See, some of us act as if our God is so small, because I hear some of our praises, it's just kind of small. I'm just saying. But if we serve a great God, he is greatly to be praised. I heard him say in Psalms 150:6, he said that everything that has breath, I know I may have missed somebody in the previous one, but I know I got you now, because he said that everything that has breath, praise the Lord. I know, because if you're not breathing, we got a problem. But if you're breathing, he said, if you got breath, you ought to praise him.
Yeah.
See, breathing, what does it mean? Breathing represents another chance. Breathing represents another possibility. Breathing represents potential for change. Breathing represents a new option. So if you're breathing, you ought to give him praise. No matter what yesterday was, no matter what your last breath yielded you, if you're breathing now, you ought to just tell him thank you. You are a product of your praise, and your praise is a product of your blessing. Let me make it plain. When praises go up, blessings come down. But when blessings come down, praises ought to go up. Let me see. Newton, y'all, some of you scientists out there, I need to talk to you for a minute. Newton's third law of motion said, whenever particle A exerts a force against a particle B, B simultaneously exerts a force against particle A with the same magnitude in the opposite direction. You all call this, for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. What am I saying? That, well, when we think about praise, Paul said it this way, praise creates and was created by change.
Yeah.
Praise causes and was caused by change. Praise drives and was driven by change. Praise originates and was originated by change. Praise generates and was generated by change. I would not wait until things are accomplished. I would go ahead and praise him in advance.
Right.
Don't wait till the battle is over. Shout right now. Because if I shout right now, I can create of victory. That's why this means war.
Yes, sir.
See, some of y'all need to declare war in your life and stop letting the devil take your stuff. Somebody say, I went to the enemy camp and I took back what he stole from me. We need to get an attitude of gratitude and start to understand whose side we're on. I'm on the Lord's side. I'm on a winning team. Praise is just to let you know that we recognize whose we are, who we are, and who's where we're going and where we're being. See, praise is not just what you do, is who you are. Therefore, we ought not to be ashamed to give God praise. The truth is, if you think about it, we're kind of like Esther. You all remember Esther. Esther was said, it was told in Esther the 4th chapter. He said to her, for if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, you know, they were about to destroy the children, and Esther was in the king's court, and he said, now you need to go see the king, but look here, if you hold your peace, that there will be an enlargement, and deliverance will arise from the Jews from another place. God doesn't have to do it. He doesn't have to do it to you through you. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And he said, look at, and who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? See, you sitting there looking pretty. And you think you all that plus a bag of chips. But don't you know that it's such a time as this? And if you don't, God said, wait a minute. I don't really need you. See, I can make the stones cry out. I'm giving you a chance, but I need you to understand it's not, don't sit there like you earn the right or you doing me a favor. No, I can make stones. If I need somebody to praise me, y'all didn't read that. Luke the 19th chapter said, I can make the stones. It's an honor to give God praise. Praise just recognizes who God is and who we are in him. That's all it is, but for us to think that we're doing him a favor. I'm so glad y'all have me in church this morning. like I'm doing you a favor by being here in church this morning. But we need to remember who we are. And if we start to understand who we are in God, we would take off the attitude and put on some gratitude. See, now I want to get to you in a minute because, see, as servants of God, we need to be in the business of serving, not being served. So I want to talk to those servants this morning who've been through some things. And you may have, because of your service, you've gotten to a point where maybe you've gotten tired. Maybe you're a little weak now. You've been tired of being lied on. You've been tired of being talked about. You've been tired of being called everything but a child of God. You've been tired of watching everybody else be blessed. And it seems like you're not being blessed. I want to talk to you this morning and let you remind you of who you are. Because I see Paul picks up the text and he begins to tell us who we are. I like, for those who need a mnemonic, it's called a CDCD. The first is you're chosen. The second D is you're dignified. The third is you're consecrated. The second D is you're distinguished. First, you're chosen. This is, you are a chosen generation. You've been placed in the family. It's no accident. You didn't get here by accident. Isn't it good to know that you've been chosen? I don't know. You ever been out there sitting on the sideline and they were trying to put a team together and they were trying to use five guys to play ball and you know you may not have been the best player, but then the captain of the team said, I'll take Ricky. Did you get a little attitude about it? Huh? Because you've been chosen and you look at the folks sitting on the bench. Huh? You realize you've been chosen? Ain't nothing wrong with being chosen, but we are a chosen generation. He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. I'm trying. You thought you chose me? I've been knocking on your door all your life. John 3:16 said, for God so loved the world that he gave because he chose us. Then not only, he didn't stop there, but then he dignified us. You are a royal priesthood. I need you to know who you are. You're a royal priesthood. You've been chosen, and then you're a royal priesthood, meaning I've given you a new friends. I place you in good company. See, some of us need to know we've been placed in good company. Look around you. Good company. I'm in good company. I say I'm in good company. I'm hanging out with the pastor. I'm hanging out with the deacon. I'm hanging out with the sister. I'm hanging out with the brother. I'm in good. I'm telling y'all this because y'all should have saw some of my other company. They don't come over no more. Michael Vick should have known that when he... Oh, well, the sidebar. You got to understand when God has placed you in good company, he made you a royal priesthood. Now, when you are a part of a team and you're on a royal priesthood, you got to understand there's nothing wrong with giving the person who is head of the team praise.
All right, now. Hallelujah. Say it again.
Some of y'all have a team. Some of y'all into the NBA. I know. Some of y'all Cavalier fans. I know. I see you. And ain't nothing wrong with that. And that there's some of y'all not.
Yeah.
And that's okay too. But when you'll celebrate your team and you get excited about your team and you excited because you they've never sent you a check. They never called your name on the sideline. They don't even know you exist.
That's right. That's right.
But you get out there and you celebrate and you will fight somebody else
because
they don't support your team. But here we are, a royal priesthood,
yes,
on a good team, got new friends, on a winning team, and y'all good. Now, I can't be quiet because this is my team. Then not only that are you dignified, but you've been consecrated. You're a holy nation. Now this is you've been separated from your foes. Isn't it nice to know? It's not enough that you've been chosen and that you've been dignified, but then I've separated. Isn't it nice to be called out from the call outs?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I don't know if y'all heard me. Yes. I said you've been called out from the call outs. Everybody is a child of God, but you've been called out from the children of God as a holy nation. You've been separated. Isn't that good news? And finally, you've been distinguished. He said you are a peculiar people. Ain't nothing wrong with being strange. There's something wrong with y'all, see, because it's something wrong with y'all because y'all tend to praise him when things are going wrong.
Come on.
You're peculiar. You're strange like that. You kind of odd. You're special. You're unlike anybody else. You unique. That's the kind of God that he said, not only I've done all this, but I made you unique. There's something uniquely yours. You need to understand that you don't have to be like me.
That's right.
You don't have to be like somebody else. Be who you are. Somebody wrote a song some time ago. I decided long ago never to walk in anyone's shadow. If I succeed, if I fail, if I succeed, at least I live as I believe. No matter what they take from me, they can't take away my dignity because the greatest love of all is inside of me. Y'all better help me with this. I pulled that up from like 29, 30 years ago. And I think it's close. The key is you have to understand that you are uniquely you. And young people, I love this. Grown folks always want you to be them. They don't like themselves. But they want you to be them. They mad at their life.
Come on, preacher.
And they want you to be like them. They don't want you to be you. They want you to be them. But God has made you peculiar. Uniquely you. So you need to just be who you are. David, can you help me out? David. This story, y'all remember the story of David and Goliath. David was a little shepherd boy. He went out there. He was attending his father's sheep, and he was anointed king. You know the story there. And he was taking food to his brothers when they were at battle. And there he saw Goliath out there defying the armies of the living God. And everybody was scared but this little kid. You know how youth sometimes is foolish. You know, it's hard to separate faith from folly from foolishness when you're young. You don't even know the difference. You think you can beat everybody. You know, you put a ball in your hand, you put a fist in, you put a ball your fist up, you think you beat everybody. So David, he looks out here and sees this giant defying the armies of the living God. Now, he had a couple of experiences. See, sometimes you got to be careful what experiences you have. See, you go and all of a sudden, for those who you know about taking martial arts, you go to your first class, you get your white belt, and as soon as they teach you your first kata, you're ready to take on a black belt because that first move was smooth.
That's all right.
And you're ready to take on the world, not realize there's a reason why there's a gradation in belts. There's the black and there's the different colors and brown and there are different colors, green. There's a different color, yellow. There's a reason for the colors. But you took your first lesson and you ready to fight anybody. Well, David, maybe it was because of some of his experiences that he had had with this lion that he had, you know, battled with and this bear he had contended with. And maybe his experiences had gotten him a little attitude about himself. And so his family, you understand, people who are listening on, his family say, I know your pride. You think you more. Anybody been down David Street? More, you think you're more than you are. His friends even said, they answered. People said, go take him to this. The fool said, that was Goliath, said, am I a dog that you coming after me with the little stave? But David, he had gone to see the king, and the king had given him his armor, and David looked at it and said, I'm looking good. But I can't go with this here because I'm going to be looking good and dying. And some of us need to understand that just because you look good, doesn't mean that you are who you are. David realized that this is not me. I'm not familiar with this armor. But all I know how to use, I got this slingshot that I've been using all my life. I'm pretty good with this slingshot. If you just give me some stones, and I believe I can go and fight. I'll go and fight him with what I know. Somebody here needs to understand, just use what you know. Don't try to be anybody else but who you are. Remember who you are. So he took his little slingshot and five smooth stones from the brook, and he went and fought against Goliath. And you know the rest of the story. He didn't even have a knife to take down Goliath with. He had to use Goliath's knife to cut his head off. All right, someone needs to learn a lesson about that too. Some of those scary stuff is going to hurt us. Church, we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. As a result of that, that's who we are. We ought to give God some praise. We've got to understand that we've been elevated, escalated, emulated, never duplicated, to give God praise. Not to pose, not to be poised, or not to be a prima donna. We are here to give God praise. Why Paul said it this way. Well, if we look at the text, the reason why is because if we know who we are, then we can give God praise. Amen. He said that ye should show forth the praises of him that called you out of darkness into the marvelous light. All of this has been done to you so that you can show forth God some praise. Praise, church, is an impassioned exaltation of God. It's a recognition of who God is because he's worthy to be praised. In our text, praise represents the excellency of God, his goodness, his grace, his mercy, his wondrous deeds. Praise proclaims the glory of God and keeps us in remembrance of all of his wondrous works towards us. Praise says, I recognize the impact God has had on my life, on my family, on my friends, on my foes, on ourselves. So, Lord, I just want to tell you thank you. Praise, Paul gives us two reasons why we should praise God. Can we go there? I'll let you go home. He said, first of all, God has been good.
Yes, sir. All the time.
Brought you out of darkness.
Yes, sir.
Then God is good into the marvelous light.
Yes, sir.
Can we close with that, church? First of all, he said, remember who you are. God has been good. Anybody been down this street where you know what God has done something for you? That you didn't bring yourself here this morning, that God brought you? Somebody sing a song, take me back to the place, Lord, where I first received you. When we consider all that God has done for us, it's easy to give God thanks. He woke us up this morning. Started us on our way. Put food on our table. Clothes on our back. Shelter on our head. Reasonable portion of health and strength. The truth is, we ought to just, God just keeps on blessing us. He just keeps on blessing. Over and over and over. He opened doors that we can't see. He just keeps on blessing me. Another songwriter said it this way. On Monday, he gives me peace of mind. On Tuesday, he gives me joy divine. On Wednesday, he hears every word I say. On Thursday, he always makes a way. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, God just keeps on blessing us. Think about this, church. If you really think about it, it should not be hard to give God thanks. Because it should be easiest to give someone thanks when they obviously deserve to be thanked.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
When it's so obvious. Even the Pharisees. Thank God. Yes. This guy, he went into the temple and he said, Lord, I thank you. But I ain't like them. I ain't like other men because the extortioner, the unjust, the adulterers, and even this publican over here. He said, I fast and I give my tithe. That Luke, the 2:18 chapter, you want to read that. He said, even though he wasn't in the right place, he could recognize that God was doing something for him.
Yes, sir.
So he was thanking God. It's hard. How hard is it to give thanks for food, shelter, and clothing? How hard is it to give thanks for a good cook and a good cleaner? Young people, how hard is it to give good thanks for a good doctor and a good dentist?
Well,
a good chauffeur and a good psychologist or a good lawyer and a good teacher? Why not? How hard is it just give thanks for good parents?
Amen.
For good relationship? For a good household? For a good church? For good friends? Well, how hard is it to give God thanks for what he's doing in your life?
Amen.
I mean, think about it. Look now, there is a place in this world where the per capita income is like $2 per month. And some of you all would not even walk out your door for $2.
My Lord, come on, make a plan.
But look at us.
Mm.
look at Loudoun County.
Come on, preacher.
look at yourselves, huh? Look around. Look how you had to go. You would, if you didn't do it, then I apologize. But most of us had to go in the closet this morning and decide.
Come on, preacher. Come on.
What to wear?
Yeah.
I had to decide what color to wear.
Yeah.
Honey, what color you wearing tomorrow?
Yeah.
Then I went in and said, now I had to go through my ties and figure out which one of these ties that's pink that's going to match with the pink that she has on, because I had several pinks. Y'all follow what I'm saying? And yet, we can't tell God thank you.
Come on, preacher. Make it plain.
God has been good.
Yes,
but let me stop now. Stop at Ben, because God is good. You see, God brought me out of darkness into the marvelous light. I was blind, church, but now I see. Romans 5 and 8 said, God commended his love to us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. See, the song, I was sinking deep in sin, far from a peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, seeking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters he lifted me. Now, right now, safe am I. How'd you get here? Love lifted me. Love lifted me when nothing else could help. Love lifted me. Now, who are you now? Well, right now, I'm a new creature. Y'all like new? I'm a new creature. Every day I say, I'm a new creature. Well, what's your story? Well, see, all I know, I say I was a blind, but now I see. How did I get here? I don't know. I'm like that blind man. You remember one in John, the 9th chapter, the blind man. He said, well, how did he cure your blind? He said, I don't know how he did it. All I know is I was blind. But now I see, I'm not going to try to tell your story. He said, I was blind, but now I see. I don't know. It was the spit or the spittle. The water rubbed on the exterior parts of my eye, my eyelashes and my eyelids, that could cause the rod, the cones, the light sensitive nerve lying in the back of the retina to experience a chemical change and transmit an upside down image via the optic nerve to the brain where it would unscramble and interpret. I don't know how he did it. All I know is I was blind. Now I see. I don't know if it was the rubbing on or the washing off. I don't know if it was going or the coming, the washing or the drying. All I know is I was blind, but now I see. Church, I'm like that blind man. I was blind, but now I see. That there's a lot that I don't know. I realize in my old age, the older I get, I realize there's a lot that I don't know. I don't know how he did it for me. I don't know how it is that a black cow can eat green grass and produce white milk. But I know a cattle on a thousand hills belong to the Lord. I don't know if the antediluvian age is followed by the present age, followed by the ages of ages. But I know that God is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. I don't know how night follows darkness or day follows night, but I know every day God is the same yesterday. I don't know what the future holds, but I know who holds the future. I don't know how he did it. All I know is I was blind, but now I see you. Church, we ought to just give God some thanks. We ought to give God some thanks. Remember who you are. Too many times we allow our situation to get the best of us. Why should I be thankful? What has that done for me lately? Well, you may not have shoes that you want, but you got feet for shoes. You may not have the clothes that you want, but you got some clothes. You may not have a car, but you got pat and bend. So pat your feet and bend your knees. You may not have the weather that you want, but thank God for an umbrella. We may not have what we want, but we all just give God thanks. Some of you all say, I'm crying, but that's all right. You ought to cry and give God thanks for tears, because weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Some of you going through something, you suffering, but that's all right. You ought to just thank God for suffering, because suffering breeds character. Character breeds faith, and faith will not disappoint. Some of you going through something, but you ought to just give God thanks. You may be troubled, but thank God you're not distressed. You may be perplexed, but thank him that you're not in despair. You may be persecuted, but thank him that you're not forsaken. You may be cast down, but thank him that you're not destroyed. You ought to just give God thanks. Remember who you are. You're on a winning team. You're on a winning team. You're on a winning team. And he's worthy to be praised. Jesus came down through 42 generations, died, went down in the grave, and they thought that was the end of the story, but that wasn't the end, because he was our team leader. He went down and early Sunday morning stepped up out of the grave. That wasn't the end of the story. Stayed down here 40 days. That wasn't the end of the story. Got back up on a cloud, went back to heaven, sat down at the right hand of God. That's not the end of the story. One day came into my life, made me a new creature. That's not the end of the story. One day I'm going to go to heaven. Somebody say, I'm going to get there, and I'm going to complain to him about how you treated me. That's not the end of the story. I'm just going to tell him, thank you. You fought a good fight. Remember who you are. Pride land, our land, is in trouble. And God has called each of us to a work uniquely ours in his plan. It is our job to know who we are. And if not, key is know who he is. Because if we know who he is, he will let us know who we are. I extend an invitation today for someone who may not be in the circle. I invite you to come to get to know yourself, to get to know God, and then get to know yourself. Romans 10, 9 and 10 says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. With the mouth confession is made unto salvation, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. Confess and believe. That's all. Confess and believe. If you're here today and you don't know him in the part of your sin, I invite you at this time to come. Come and get to know him as your own personal Savior. He can CD, CD you. He can make you a part of his workforce, a part of his team, a winning team. If you're here, I invite you to come. If you're here, maybe you're visiting the church and you've been looking for a church home so you can carry out the work God has given you to do. Well, the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. We invite you to join us even now. There's plenty of work here to be done, and there's plenty of room. If you're here, I invite you as well. So this invitation goes out to those who may not know him and those who are looking for a place to work. This is your invitation. Please come. I praise. The song said, I praise him. We ought to be praying at this time. I praise him. I praise him. I praise him. I praise him. If you're here today, remember who you are, church. God bless you.